Good afternoon to everyone. There's a couple things we want to emphasize today in the weekly update. And good to see Eddie here today. Thank you for joining us. And so we have our great nurses from the Arkansas Department of Health. If y'all would come up here, this is flu shot day. And so Dr. Romero and I will get our flu shot, encouraging everyone in Arkansas to get the flu shot as well. Or do you want us to go over there? Right here. These are the... All right. What's that?
Did you do okay after your
last shot? Not a problem at all.
Good deal. All right.
There you go. After this, the governor and I will arm wrestle.
Is that okay?
Yeah, you do whatever you need to do.
Again, thank you to our nurses. And the purpose of Dr. Romero and I getting our flu shot publicly is just to encourage everyone and remind everyone the importance that flu season is here. It's important to get the flu shot. I know we've talked a lot about our COVID vaccinations. We want to continue to emphasize that, but we can't neglect the importance of the flu shot as well. And I wanted to show a little bit of history here. And this is the percentage of outpatient visits due to flu-like illnesses. And this is, first of all, the blue line that you see is the average from 2016 to 2021 in terms of cases. And then the green is the baseline. This is the baseline for this year, 2020 to 2021. And of course, that on the bottom right, you have May, June, July, August, and September months. And you can see in those, they call it off-season baseline, but in those early months, our the green, the baseline for this year, is higher than the average in past years. And so it's just an early reminder that we could be entering a challenging time if we all don't get the flu shot this year. And in 2017 and 2018 flu season, we had 228 who died from the flu in Arkansas, and that's the deadliest year under our records. Last year, it was down to 23. Now, what was different last year? Is that we had a lot of public health precautions, social distancing, wearing a mask, and everyone was careful. And so that had the beneficial impact in terms of the flu as well as preventing and reducing COVID cases. So there's no cost to getting the flu vaccine at the Department of Health. We want everybody to get that, and we encourage them to do it. Then I'm going to invite Dr. Romero to come up and make some comments on the flu. And then I want to come back and make an announcement today related to computer science. And then we'll do our regular COVID update. Dr. Romero.
So as the governor said, we really want people to get their flu vaccine this year along with the COVID vaccine. You know, we don't want to have twindemics, spikes with both COVID and with the flu. We have that potential to happen this year as we've done away with social distancing and masking. And so it's really important that you get the vaccine, not just for adults, but also for children. So children 6 months and older can get the vaccine. There are formulations for them. And the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Family Practice Group advises that we give all children the vaccine. So again, children, infants, adolescents, and adults, they should receive the vaccine. They should receive it now before flu season actually starts. We don't want to put an extra stress on our healthcare system on top of COVID. So thank you again, Governor.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. And as we move to the topic of computer science, I did want to recognize Dr. Ivy Pfeffer, our Deputy Secretary at the Department of Education. And then also we have Anthony Owen, who has been a trooper helping us with the technical aspects of this production, but he's our Director of Computer Science, continues to do an outstanding job for us. But I'm pleased to announce that the numbers are in for this year's enrollment in computer science courses, and we've had the largest number increase in students taking computer science than we've had since this initiative began. Last year, we had 10,450 students enrolled in computer science courses. This year, that number has gone up to 12,547. That is a 20% increase over the previous year. And again, that's the largest number increase that we've seen since the program began. And just a couple of details on it. We see the number of students has grown since the very beginning from 11,000 to over from 1,100 to over 11,000. And then let's go to the next one there, and we'll see it broken down a little bit. You can see this by the graph and the increase where we started out in 2014 and 15 at 1,104 and the progression each year where we're now at 12,547. And then this is something we always look at is how we're encouraging our young students, our female students, in increasing their enrollment in computer science and decreasing the gap. And so the male to female enrollment gap shrunk by 2%. We still have a gap there. We want to continue to build on that. And our percentages in terms of racial breakdown is close to the general population, but we continue to emphasize the importance of making sure that every student, wherever they are in high school, have access to quality computer science courses. The 750 eighth graders are actually taking a high school level computer science course for credit this year, and the largest group that's taken it is our ninth grade students. But this is the last year in which it's a voluntary act to take computer science before it's required for graduation. And so this year, even though we increased over 20%, the mandate was not in place. That makes it a requirement for graduation. That'll be in place next year, but then they actually could wait till their third or fourth year to take that course. So we expect to have an increase. We just don't know the volume of that increase that we'll see next year. The message is that Arkansas continues to lead in the nation in terms of our computer science education program. And it's demonstrated by the investment that we've made in terms of our incentives, in terms of our recruitment of teachers, where we started out with 20 certified teachers, and now we have close to 600 certified teachers in computer science. And that's part of the requirement of Act 414, is that every school has to have a certified teacher available to teach. We're investing in it. We see that it's important. And one of the outcomes is that we're seeing a growth of technology companies in Arkansas because of our investment in computer science education. And so it's for the students, but it's also for our competitive level in terms of our economy. With that, Dr. Pfeffer, I want to invite you to make a comment.
Thank you, Governor. And this is very encouraging data. Not only are we seeing the growth in those first-time enrollments in computer science courses, we're also seeing numbers of students increase who are taking multiple computer science courses. We're also seeing the expansion of career pathways with computer science courses, meaning that students can take multiple courses that lead to an industry-recognized certification. I think this is a something that we want to attribute to the governor and to the work of transformation, bringing together the computer science, our career and technical education, and all of those opportunities for students that really do truly lead to a pathway into the workforce. We're excited about the growth in the number of our computer science teachers. We have lots of different avenues that teachers can used to get into the profession, to teach computer science, and to earn a certification. The Computer Science Initiative is on a very sustainable track. We saw growth at every grade level in students taking computer science courses. So it is exciting news, and Anthony Owen and his team are doing a phenomenal job of not only making a lot of exciting opportunities for students, but providing the professional development for teachers, which is going to continue to lead us. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pfeffer. And now let's go to today's COVID update. You can see from the graph that we have 502 new cases. This is down from last week, which we had a little bit over 600 the same day last week. Active cases are down 86. Deaths, regrettably, we have an additional 14. And then you have hospitalizations are down. Ventilators are even. And then we can go to the next one. And this are vaccinations. And you can see our vaccinations given are 11,527, which is higher than what we've been doing at about 7,000 level. The greatest percent of these, I believe it's 60%, are booster doses. We have also a small increase in our first doses. And so I'm pleased that that is up a little bit. You can see that we have increased our fully immunized by 1,700. We really need to accelerate that as we look toward the winter months coming and a little bit of the unknown. We certainly want to increase those vaccination rates. And this, just a reminder again, I've been asked to track this, to report on this, because it's important information. And whenever you look at the cases, the left column, hospitalizations, the middle bar, and then the right are deaths. The orange are those that have been fully vaccinated, and the remainder not fully vaccinated, the lighter color. So cases, 86.8% of those that develop an infection have not been vaccinated. The hospitalizations, 88.8% of those that go in the hospital have not been fully vaccinated. And then the last column, of course, 87.2% of those that die from COVID have not been fully vaccinated. A reminder, if you want to go with the odds, if you want to go with the science, you want to go with the data, that is compelling evidence to get vaccinated. I believe that covers the report today. And with that, be happy to turn it open to any questions.
Any update on timing for a special session and your negotiations with legislative leaders on income tax cut?
I'll be continuing meeting with them this week and continuing our conversation, but there's no update in terms of the time frame and any other specifics. No further developments right now.
Are you worried at all about any hesitancy towards the vaccine for kids under 12 when that becomes available?
Well, I expect some hesitancy among parents. I think that whenever you see it approved for 5 to 11, that you'll see an immediate increase in vaccines given out for that age group, because many parents have already made the decision, whenever that's ready and available, I want my child to have that protection. I think you'll see others that will say, we'll wait on that. So I think there will naturally be at that age group probably some reluctance in it, but I expect an immediate increase in the numbers whenever that happens. Dr. Romero, did you want to add to my speculation? Yes.
So the governor is correct. There'll probably be some trepidation in accepting the vaccine right off the bat. But we expect these children to be vaccinated in a similar rate that they have been for adolescents. We need to go forward, make parents understand that this is a very safe vaccine, and it's essential for the well-being of the children. So I think that we will see, as the governor mentioned, an initial spike, and over time we'll eventually move forward. But it may not be as fast as the adolescent group.
And I have asked the Department of Health to track this. And so we know whenever we announce that the 12 to 18-year-olds can be added and get their vaccination, we know the pace in which they got vaccinated day by day. And so we want to be able to compare that with the 5 to 11 and to see whether there's an equivalency or what the differences are. And maybe we can learn from that as to how we encourage parents to make the right decision. Is there anyone remotely that had a question?
Yeah. Hey, Governor, this is Michael Wilson with 5 News in Northwest Arkansas. Going along with kid vaccinations, do you know how it will be distributed and how quickly once the FDA gives that okay?
What's the last part? How quick they're going to approve it? I was on the call today with the White House, and they expect that to be approved early in November, which is around the corner. All the states are making preparation for that and making sure that we have a provider group that can distribute those vaccines and make them available for the age 5 to 11. And so we're prepared for it. We're ready to go. I expect that to be in the time frame. Do you have anything else on that? Any other question? All right, with that, thank you all very much for your attention today and allowing us to make this presentation. Thank you.